Well, everyone, today is Thursday, January 8, 2026, and this is the week in charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and gals for attending today. I guess one of my resolutions for 2026 is to get the word out, which I haven't really done really well. We've had some issues, some software issues, of getting the word out too. So hopefully, we'll get that resolved early in 2026. Anyway, thanks for attending. I appreciate you finding it. Usually you can find it at www.davelandry.com/webinar. And there's an issue with that at the moment, but check back there. Hopefully I'll have it fixed. Or you can always email me if you can't find the link. All right, what can we talk about? Well, current market conditions, obviously, and as usual, I have a lot to say about that. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock, and crypto picks. You can punch those in now if you want. Just add USD past for your crypto signal, so I know what it is. Crypto starting to wake up a little bit. I've taken a trade here and there, and I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. And I'll be happy to show you those. And I told my group, that my Facebook group, once things pick up a little bit more, I'm going to start posting the trades. Right now, it's kind of hit and miss with the trades, and there's just not a whole lot out there. But it could be improving, and we'll get to that in just 1 second. I want to focus, as I have been focusing, and I guess this is going to be my ongoing focus, it obviously is the methodology in action, and that'll make a lot more sense in just 1 second. And that is the missing piece. And then this week, we're going to start our trading resolutions. We only have a few this week, but I'm going to get to the rest of them over time. There's certain ones I wanted to get to this week, and then the other ones will go a little bit quicker. Anyway, there's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading, Mars, all the 7-up. All predictions are about the future. And a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. Amen. It's from my brother, from another mother, Greg Moore. It says all my contact information. Feel free to shoot a screenshot. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. As I've been saying ad nauseum over the last year or so, the missing piece for me is seeing someone actually trade. There's a lot of gurus out there that tell you how great they are. And they hand select or cherry pick a trade or two and show you and tell you how wonderful they are. What I want is for somebody to show me what they're going to do, why they're going to do it, and then do it and show me an actual trade that you made. And I feel like I'm filling in that missing piece. And as I've said 1,000 times, early on in my career, I had mixed success, and I did really well on a Forex trade, and that kind of set me up. I had enough money to live on for a few months after that. But I was always curious, like every time I'd have a loss, like what's wrong with me and what's going on, and maybe I'm not so great, and why did I quit my day job so early? And luckily, working with some other traders as a programmer and then eventually a stock picker, and all that, I learned a lot from them in the process. And I actually saw them make trades, and I actually saw the ups and downs, and made me realize that, hey, it's not just me that has all these emotions. In fact, you can't escape emotions. It's something that we often talk about from a neurological standpoint. But anyway, so let's get into the mystery charts and methodology in action. We do have, thank God, a smoke 'em if you got 'em report for this week. So this was glue. This was recommended back in December. And thank God, I was worried we were going to have a loser for the first closed trade of the year. A nice little pullback there, nice little TKO. As you look at this chart, notice you have acceleration. You have some persistency. It tends to trade cleanly. And we're going to circle back to a lot of these things in a few minutes. That's why I'm going fairly quickly. But it's a good look at stock. And you know, look at the net price change. Where was it few months ago? Where is it now? And you can see that it's had a pretty good run. Nice little pullback to the 30 EMA. That's really become one of my favorite patterns, the Landry Light pullbacks with the 30 EMA. Now, I don't always plot the moving average. Usually I just look at a blank chart. I kind of eyeball it. But if I had to quantify or qualify, is probably a better word, I would say most of my trades are probably going to be, or the majority at least, these Landry Light pullbacks. And it's a great little pattern for say so myself. Anyway, it pulls back to the moving average. Remember, as I say ad nauseum, this down here does not measure the distance from the moving average. Maybe that type of reversion to the mean stuff can be good for something, or can be used for something like VIX research, which I've done a lot of, and I actually do that. But as far as trends are concerned with the Landry line, I'm just counting the number of bars. I want to know how long this thing has trended. And this thing trended for 60 bars, just kind of eyeballing it without touching, maybe more, without touching that 30 EMA. And that's quite the impressive run. Anyway, nice little kind of TKO type of pullback down to the EMA, TKO trend knockout, one of my patterns. By the way, if you need the books, you can get them for free at davelander.com/free-book. And I'll give you all three of my books in PDF format. So the entry is there, stop is there, initial profit target is up here. Let's see what happened. All right, triggers an entry and then begins to die. And I ain't gonna lie. Was it 2 days ago? 2 days ago, I'm like, oh crap, it's getting pretty close to that stop. What should I do? Well, Dave Landry says to hang tight, and that's what you need to do. So that's what I did. And we're gonna come to that in just 1 minute, see each position to its fruition. But anyway, thankfully the stock took off and we banged out that initial profit target and then some. By the way, and I saw a lot of you guys did the same thing in the Facebook group, and fantastic. I'm so excited. I'm gonna come back to that group in 1 second, but I'm so excited to see everybody actually profiting from the methodology, and furthermore, not looking a gift horse in the mouth, especially when you have one like this that's not doing so hot and all of a sudden it heats up. As Linda Rasky says, feed the ducks while they're quacking. Now, I love it, what I'm saying there is I was exiting in pre-market trading and I was putting out my notes that, hey, I'm getting out in pre-market trading. And by the time I got around to putting that into Facebook, I noticed a bunch of you guys were already scaling out or taking that additional profit target, I should say, which is half. Now, ideally, you know, these things kind of take off. Let's say it takes off intraday, then yeah, by all means, trail a stop on half of that position and try to hang on as long as possible and squeeze out a few points. But when you have a big gift horse like this overnight and it's well above the IPT, now, initial profit target on this one, I think it's like 1,000 and change. I have the spreadsheet here in 1 second. But in after hours, in pre-market trading, I should say, I was able to get a couple of extra bucks above that IPT. So that's much better than poking the eye. You don't want to wait, let the thing open and then implode on you. And as Linda Rasky says, feed the ducks while they're quacking. Everybody in the world is rushing in to buy this stock. You're blessed with a position. Go ahead and let them have it. There used to be a Frankie Johnny's. Anybody from New Orleans in here? Frankie Johnny's was a furniture store, and then they'd have people come in. I want Social Security and welfare, and I don't have any money. Let them have it. There was the special man's big black man. I forget his name. Clarence somebody, I think. And he had a big cigar, and he said, let them have it. So he was the let them have it guy. So when I'm hitting these initial profit targets like this, I just kind of close my eyes and let them have it is the way I kind of look at it. And then, of course, we still have the other half on just in case this thing blasts higher. And so far, it's okay. It's up nearly 2 points today. So that's better than a poke in the eye. So you got 1,041 at the initial profit target if you exited on that gap, obviously. And then 1761 open plus probably another couple hundred bucks on top of that. So not a bad trade so far, knock on wood. So that the swing here is pretty amazing. It's a $2,800 swing, $3,000, I guess, counting today's gains. And this thing was dangerously close to that protective stop. And that's 1686. That's a pretty healthy loss for about 1 week into a trade. And I know it's hard to hold through these things. And guess what? You're going to get stopped out on quite a few of them. But if you exit early, and I'm kind of jumping ahead, but if you exit early, you're never going to catch a big longer term gain. I can almost guarantee that. All right, we have a mystery chart. We'll circle back to glue in a minute. Thank God it finally got unstuck. New mystery chart for this week. This is a hot IPO. Notice that it really took off. Went from 35, had a pretty decent run in here, and then had a fairly deep, pretty deep pullback. And this is a pattern I call a first deep retracement. Now, if this was a lower price IPO, then you could do something like the buy at D pattern where you're buying at a 5-day closing high. And we're not going to get into that this week, don't worry, but we'll pick that up next time we have some buy at Ds triggering. Anyway, there's all the parameters down below. It's a buy. 41.70 is the entry, 36.50 is the stop, and 46.90 is initial profit target. So the entry's here, stop is here, and the IPT is way up here. It's pretty close to triggering. I think it was getting there. Not quite there yet, but it came fairly close. All right, so that's mystery chart. All right, let's hop into the resolutions. As I said, we only have, I don't forget how many we have, so it's going to take me a while to get through them all, but these are the ones that I want to focus on for this week, just because they're very relevant. And then over time, I want to get to the remainder of the ones that we've talked previously, and there's a few more I want to add in. And that'll make a lot of sense in just 1 second. By the way, before we get into resolutions, would you, I would say, I don't know what number it is, but it's the vast majority of people don't keep their New Year's resolutions. A couple things you could do, and there's people that are a lot smarter than me could probably help you out a lot more. But one of the things I've picked up on recently is you want to kind of focus on positive resolutions as opposed to negative resolutions. Like, I need to stop eating so much because I'm fat. You know, it's like, you know, you deprive myself of all these things. No, maybe fill in a few more healthier meals, okay? Maybe find some exercise that you enjoy, go for a walk in the woods or whatever. Just do some things, but frame it and kind of view it as a positive. And by the way, from a neurological standpoint, as we've gotten into many times before, and this is why people have so much trouble when they try to go on a diet or they try to get serious about their training or serious about anything, is because our bodies are very resistant to trade. We have a homeostasis about us. If our temperature goes up a few degrees or down a few degrees, we're in a whole lot of trouble. And as I've said before, picking on a couple of friends of mine, we have some friends that are a couple, they're always, well, I wouldn't say always, they go on a fad diet every so often. I'm sure they're due to go on another one really soon. And it's like, you hate being around them because normally they're kind of like drinking buddy, you know, they're fun to be around, they party, but then it's like they go on these fad diets. And so we're like, ugh. So we just let them go through their phase. And then, you know, we'll see them partying on Facebook with their other friends. It's like, okay, looks like they're back in the game. So, you know, why do we have to suffer through all this time? Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is usually they end up fatter than they were when they began. So you have to really be careful about drastic changes. But there's a bunch of little things, and the way I framed everything with the resolutions, and I'm redoing all the old ones to try to make sure that we're focusing on the positive aspects, because you're not gonna make a drastic change. You want to make a big change in your life, make a really, really small change. And believe me, I'm fighting it too. I'm trying to get organized. God forbid if this camera falls and you see this messy office that I'm in. But you know, I started doing like one little thing each day. It's almost like you have to trick and train your brain. I've done complete presentations just on that. So just know, take it kind of easy and make it easier on yourself by making these little small changes and, you know, writing that plan out, and are you following that plan? So with that said, you want to see each position to its fruition. Now, that stock we just talked about, it had a $1,686 loss per 100K. So if you count bigger than that, you're staring at a pretty big loss over 1 week's time. And that's a substantial amount of money, right? And you're like, well, you know what? F this. I'm just going to get out. Why should I lose another few hundred more dollars and wait for that stop to get hit? Well, that micromanaging is going to kill you in the long term. So here's a case where sticking with it through thick and thin, and believe me, you're going to get stopped out on some. You're going to get your ass handed to you, which I have a direct quote that says that in just a few minutes. But overall, if you never follow a plan, you're not going to reap the benefits of following that plan. I need to make that more eloquent. But if you never follow a plan, you will never reap the benefits of following the plan. So I got a nasty gram and complaining about quite a few things. And it said the stocks you pick trade erratically and don't follow through. Glue, for example, you buy at the high and it goes down 7 days in a row despite a climbing market. Now, if you take a look at biotechnology, okay, biotechnology was a really solid uptrend. Now, I just grabbed a snapshot here, but you go back and look at the IBB, which we'll do in a few minutes, and you see that it's been trending for a long, 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 long time. Nice little pullback to what? That 30 EMA beginning to take off, rally out. That's a good looking chart, right? So this is the day that we triggered. And what did biotech do? Okay. Linda Ratsky, and I asked her where she got it. She said, I don't know, I probably heard it on the floor. So she didn't take credit for it, but I give her credit for it. She said, a market will often do the most obvious thing in the most unobvious manner. Amen. Okay. So it looks like it's just going to make a nice little pretty lanyard-like pullback, take off to the races. No, it's going to die out first, make everybody think it's topped out, and then it's going to take off, right? So it's I hate to say the luck of the draw, but I like the setup, okay? I like the sector. The market was doing okay. And it just so happened that I traded right into a correction. Shit happens, sometimes twice. As a large black lady behind me one time, we're checking out. I mumbled, shit happened under my breath. And she's like, sometimes twice. I'm like, amen. Anyway, so it happens, right? And fortunately, it took off. Now, next resolution, I will gladly accept what the market is offering. It kind of reminds me of when you have kids and you're out buying them a treat or giving them a little toy or something, and you know they start complaining. It's like, you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. And it's a lot deeper than just that, if you really think about it. I'm a big fan of some of these things that could be a little esoteric, like The Science of Getting Rich by Waddles. Okay, it's a sort of large print version. I have it's in public domain. You can print it off on the internet. But I just ordered a large print version because I read and reread it so much. And one of the biggest things in there, and each time I read it, I get more and more out of it. Now, it's kind of spacey and esoteric here and there. You kind of have to put that kind of stuff aside. By the way, remember The Secret, which was bullshit, but they basically ripped off Waddles and they went off the deep in an esoteric. Like, they're just like, oh, I would like a red Ferrari. Okay, it's on its way. You know, it's not quite that easy. And Waddles does say you do have to take some action and do some things. But the point I'm trying to get to is one of the things he talks about a lot, and boy, have I witnessed this in my life, is gratitude. Okay. If you are grateful for what you have, you will get more. I can all but guarantee that, right? But if you're constantly bitching about what you don't have, you will get less, okay? Or you get more of what you don't want. I'm a huge believer of that. I'm not saying I'm always grateful. I'm not saying, you know, I'm perfect at any of this. But I'm telling you my observations here, my empirical observations is the more grateful you are, the more things will come to you. And that's kind of how you have to be with the market. You have to kind of take everything and be grateful for it. Jocko once said, it's kind of off on a little bit of a tangent here, but Jocko, how do you say his last name? Willink, once said, like when somebody would come to him with a problem or something, he would say, good. And it's like, so you kind of frame it from that aspect. And then next thing you know, you're able to sort of fix things. And so whatever happens, he would say, good, which I know, I drop an F-bomb first. The stocks you pick trade erratically and don't follow through. NRGV, you buy November 11 and get stopped out the very next day. Well, I was thinking, NRGV is like, well, shit, I'm still talking about that one. You know, it's kind of like my wife was at the dog park and a dog caught a squirrel and the owner was walking around, didn't see it happen. And when the owner got back, my wife told the owner, and the owner's like, man, she's going to be talking about that for a long time. It's like, I'm still talking about this NRGV. But anyway, longer-term trend accelerated higher. Nice Landry light, as you can see. Little pullback to the 30 EMA. There's all the parameters down below. Entries here, stop is here, IPT is here. It meanders for a few days, it triggers, and then bam, hits the IPT, it comes right back in. So $1,000, okay, and then zero on the remainder. Now, as I've said before, that's much better than a poke. And the eye, when you get that swing trade out and then you get stopped, as long as you're profitable overall, you want to thank the market gods for providing you that opportunity, right? Be grateful. So again, this gentleman was complaining about that trade. So I looked at the spreadsheet, and that's a 28% move in one day. Now, I fired up my fuzzy math machine, and I know it's fuzzy math, but it's fun to do. I know you probably want to party with me. If you made 28% per day, and let's just start with $100. You could probably start with $1. It'd be just as impressive, or nearly as impressive. By the end of the year, your account would be worth, what do you think? $100, start with 100. There's 252 trading days, and you made 28% every day. I don't know, $500, $1,000, $100,000, $1 million, $1 billion? Well, believe it or not, it's a number too big to say. I think it's 29 zeros after the one. To put it in perspective, a trillion has 12 zeros, okay? So this is a no alien or non-alien or something. It's some kind of crazy number that really doesn't exist, right? I guess it exists, but there's nothing you could put to this number that would make a lot of sense. Maybe not even stars in the universe, sands on the beach. It's a big number, but anyway. So you need to learn to be grateful when the market gives you a gift, okay? And again, you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Now, I will not sharpshoot signals. I got the word sharpshoot from Greg Morris, and maybe next week I'll just show an example, because it's like I was thinking, I use the TFM 10% system, which we talked a lot about last year, for my kids' college, leftover college funds, I should say. And I've been managing with that. It's like I'm resisting getting into the actual active trading for them, just in case I got too emotional with it or whatever. I mean, I can handle my stuff, but I can see them, and then before you know it, they might be questioning me. This way, it's kind of like I kind of set it and forget it, and I'm following this longer-term system. Now, I have to say, the last signal I didn't like because it was on a down week, okay? So I did kind of hold off a little bit on that. And the reason is because when I designed the system, I didn't think about a down week trigger. However, I did eventually take the signal because, you know, what would Dave Landry do? You know, don't sharpshoot the signal. So the point I'm trying to make there is with a mechanical system, it's a little bit easier to explain this concept. But if you're following my system and my recommendations, the problem, which we'll flesh out in quite a bit, okay, is that it does depend on the occasional outlier. And without those outliers, you don't do very well, okay? And I think that's just trend following in general. So it's like I kind of beat up my methodology, but that's trend following. And by the way, all representative methodologies are going to look a lot alike. And I think that I've kind of tweaked up the trend following with the hybrid money management and, you know, taking those partial profits and trailing those stops and being selective and all these other great things. I think I've tweaked it up to squeeze as much out of it as possible. But all representative samples of or representative methodologies, for instance, breakouts, if you're trading breakouts, unless you're in a rip-roaring bull market, you're going to have a really high failure rate, okay? If you're pure long-term trading, as I often say, your percent accuracy is going to be abysmal, about 26, 27%, somewhere in that number, probably 25% round numbers. So you're going to be wrong 3 out of 4 times, okay? You're going to have horrible drawdowns, and that's why I take a bit of a hybrid approach, okay? So the stocks you pick, trade radically and don't follow through, in the interest of full disclosure, I did not take the two gold stocks. Well, those are two of our biggest winners from last year. Okay, so the KGC ran 100-something percent, 109%, knock on wood so far. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when we eventually get stopped out. But so far, it's been a pretty darn good run. So this gentleman didn't take that trade. And then he also didn't take the KGC, which is the other gold stock we're still long. TFPM, which is, that's the wrong chart. But TFPM is up 61%. And then KGC is up 109%. So you get the idea. We'll fix all that in post. Anyway, I didn't want to ask him just in case he was rubbing salt in the wounds. But one of the bigger winners that I remember, so I went and grabbed real quick from last year, is Kratos. And that was another triple digit winner. You catch a couple of these a year, and you know, a couple of NRGVs where you make 28% in one day and you get stopped out, and you don't have a tremendous amount of losses, you will get stopped. You will get stopped out many times in a row. I can almost guarantee that. But if you can keep that under control and keep that 2% or less for the most part, you catch a few outliers and a few better than the Pocono eyes, like I just said, and you're going to do really well longer term. But as I said 1,000 times, and this is just another example, I'm not beating up on this gentleman because he beat up on me, which I can be an ass with somebody, especially if it's my baby, right? It's my methodology. It's also me, and I take things way too personally. But many, many, many times, and this is just one new example, many times people will quit the service. And I'm like, okay, why'd you quit? It's like, we've been doing great. Why would you quit? And they're like, I can't make any money. It's like, well, did you get, you know, ABC and KGC, TFPM, and these KTOS, these big winners? No, but I got those other turds you recommended. It's like, well, there you have it. So that's the sharpshooting problem that a lot of people deal with. And Greg has actually helped me kind of wrap my head around that, you know, people are going to sharpshoot, and I can't take it so personally when they do. Okay. I guess you can sharpshoot all you want, just don't quit. I will fully understand and embrace the nuances of my methodology. So that kind of dovetails into the nuances, right? As I just said, the methodology depends on the occasional outlier. Okay. Now, he said last year you had a stock that also got stopped out the very first day after entry. In 30 years, I can never recall that shit happening to me. I guess he said shit. I can. And it will happen. The longer you're at this, the more things are going to happen. That I can guarantee. And yeah, you feel like an idiot when you buy a stock and then the next day you get stopped out. That's going to happen. That's one of the few things I can guarantee. This gentleman's been very lucky. Good for him. It's never happened in 30 years. It will. You will occasionally get your ass handed to you. One thing I was thinking about as I was going live is, like, think about what happened to biotech, okay? It was a beautiful technical pattern. The sector looked fantastic. Stock looked fantastic, okay? And what happened? Well, it just, the day we bought was the high for 7 trading days, okay? And he was saying, well, the market went up. It's like, well, the sector got tanked. Well, why did the sector get tanked? Who knows, okay? Some CEO was probably with his secretary or head of human resources at a Coldplay concert, okay? And you know, instead of his wife, that's a criminal offense going to a Coldplay concert, okay? And so the poor guy had to sell his holdings or whatever. You know, who knows what happened? All predictions are about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. And it doesn't always have to be something that's directly market related. This is a dated story, but I remember I was long S&P futures, feeling like a genius. I was like, I'm gonna go grab me a shower. And when I got back from the shower, you know, I come out all wet and check my screens, And it's like I was down a big amount, or a huge amount, right? I didn't even bother putting a stop it. I was doing so well. Well, come to find out, some idiots started shooting people in the nation's capital, okay? Shit happens, right? And in this particular case, it was believed, it was later found out, it was like a pellet gun. So he just had a little pellet gun, little hand pellet gun, and started shooting people. And then there was this big panic, and all of a sudden, the whole entire market tanks. So you have no control. So when people hold me to this high standard that I can't be held to, it's like you need to understand that's how markets work. Things happen. You might buy the high. I have many high tick awards, but if you're, and that's when I buy the high tick and then immediately lose money, I call it the high tick award. But if you have a plan and you can defend your setup, something that I'll get to in just 1 second, then you just have to let the chips fall where they may. And yes, you will occasionally get your ass handed to you. One of the few things I can guarantee. Now, as I alluded to a minute ago, or said a minute ago, it can be streaky, okay? The money tends to come in chunks. And Larry Connors and I were talking about this way back in the mid-90s when we were doing a lot of momentum type of research, and we just got to talking about it. And that's one thing that Larry said. Yeah, it's streaky and money comes in chunks. And that really stuck with me, okay? You print money for a while. You will absolutely print money for a while, okay? And then you grind it out. And I don't remember the exact quote from Brian Gelber, but kind of paraphrasing, it was in Market Wizards. He said, 3 months of the year, you're hot. You're so hot, you can't sleep at night. 3 months of the year, you're cold. You're so cold, you can't sleep at night as far as trading is concerned. And then the other 6 months, you grind it out, you know, wondering if you're ever going to consistently make a lot of money, okay, or any money of significance. And that's just how it works. But you have to chip away at it. You have to chip away at it. You have to be present to win, okay? The occasional outlier is key. Again, years and years ago, I was a CTA for a while, and one of my CTA friends that I met, we got to talking one day, and he goes, well, we really live for the outlier. And I love that. I love the way he said that, because we do. That occasional outlier is huge, and that is what we live for. Now, it's a lot of doing nothing, okay? And I'm trying to think the guy, Ken Lambert. Ken Lambert once said, doing nothing is harder than it looks. And there's a whole psychology and even neurology about that that I've talked about ad nauseum, okay? And that's probably going to be one of the slides in upcoming presentations. I'm going to bore you to death again with that. And it was from a psychiatrist who told me that she had a reason for why people accept such mediocrity when it comes to the markets. So anyway, the psychiatrist was telling me, because she says, I think I have an answer. It's like, because I would always say every webinar, it's like, how come these highly educated and highly successful people, doctors, lawyers, automatic transmission mechanics, welders, okay, that are trading are so bad at it? Why do they take such crappy setups? And then one day hit me like a ton of bricks, and she said, I think I have your answer. As a trained psychiatrist, we have to take whatever train wreck comes along, as does an automatic transmission mechanic, a lawyer, or whoever else. You can't sit around and wait for it, her words, the so-called fat pitch, where the fat pitch, from a baseball analogy, I'm not a big, you don't even know how to hold a bat, not a big sports guy, but from what I understand, if you're a professional baseball player, when you get what's called the fat pitch, you get a ball coming at you. They say that the ball looks like it's that big around, like a cabbage ball or something. And those are the ones that usually become like a home run. So you can't be that selective. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in business very long. I have a mechanic I'm friendly with. He's taken care of all of my older cars over the years. Whenever I run out of my time or reach my pay grade on them. Anyway, he tells a story of he called time of death on one of our cars. He goes, you need to be done with this car. He goes, we've had a good run with it. You know, even the mechanic, because he was sick of working on it. it was a car for my daughter, which became my other daughter's car. And finally, we pulled the plug. But he told a brief story about his brother-in-law or someone said, hey, he kept fixing his car over and over and over again. He was sick of fixing it. And he said, this thing is a piece of crap. You have to get rid of it. So he says, would you mind if I stuck it in front of your shop and put a sign on it? And he goes, no, not at all. So some guy came in, gave him $500 for it or whatever. Before he did that, he took it for a little test drive. And he came back, he paid him, and he said, I want all these things fixed. So just when he thought he was rid of it, and they pull him back in. But obviously, he cannot turn down every client every day that he doesn't want and only pick and choose what he wants. You can't do that. Anyway, it's a lot of doing nothing when it comes to trading. Here's the caveat, though, and there's so many, paradoxes when it comes to trading. It's a whole lot of doing nothing. You might go weeks and sometimes even months if you're following the position trading methodology, okay, the swing to intermediate term methodology, without doing anything, okay? But you must be present to win. And from a selfish standpoint, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the trading service, because it forces me every day to do my homework. There's so many days where I just rather go home or go out and do something or whatever than sit in front of my screens for another hour or two looking for opportunities, because I know that they probably won't be any, right? But because I have clients depending on me, I have to do my homework. And every now and then, I'll find something worthwhile. I don't know, I beat the dead horse, but I've had a few clients over the years, different stories, very similar. But like one client told me that he was going to take a break. He said, look, I'm going to stay with the service, Dave, but I don't see anything in foreseeable future. I'm going to just, you know, go find something more interesting. I'm like, can't blame you, right? And then the next day, I found two setups, which turned into the two biggest winners or two of the biggest winners of the year. So you must be present to win. And believe me, that's a tough one. And I'm not immune, okay? There was one stock, thank God, but I recommended it, and it didn't trigger. Every day it came in, you know, Dave Landry says, put your orders in. So I put my orders in, never triggered, okay? One day I come in, this thing's never gonna trigger, okay? I saw it was down for the day or whatever. You know, why waste my time putting the order in? And then I logged in the Facebook group, and somebody in the Facebook group said, service trigger. I'm like, what? It triggered. And luckily, it was only a few cents above the trigger, so I got in, and I would have missed that stock had I not been part of the group. By the way, it does help to have a support group, to have other people, to have more than one set of eyes on the chart. So to soft sell you a little bit, two things. One, maybe you don't feel like doing the homework. I'll pick up the slack for you, okay, on those days, because I'm forced to do it because I have other clients, okay? And then the other thing is with the Facebook group, which is part of the service and also part of the Gold membership on the website, we have a group of traders and we don't always fully agree on everything. I'm glad that we don't, right? So we can see a little bit different perspective. But in general, we tend to trade the trends and IPOs and things like that. And a lot of the patterns or my patterns are somewhat similar, at least trending and pulling back and things like that. And it really helps to have other people with you. I don't know why this is. And it's like as soon as someone, like the same people that'll kind of rip me a new one, like I think I'm better now than I was a year ago. Last year was one of my better years that I can remember. And I remember getting accolades from this gentleman here that just kind of ripped me a new one. And a year ago, he actually gave me a testimonial. And so I don't know why now, I don't know what's changed, okay? And so, and I think what happens is as people get smarter and smarter, and hopefully I'm adding to that education, but as they get smarter and smarter, they feel like, okay, I don't need anybody else, okay? I don't need anybody's help. I could do this on my own. Well, that's great. Do it on your own, but it's great to have a support group, okay? And I love the Facebook group. That is my support group, okay? That's where I kind of get a little backing. I get some ideas. I see what other people are working on. And it's okay. I don't know why, but for some reason, this business, the educational side at least, everyone feels like they have to be completely alone. And yeah, you need some independent thought, but if you're focusing on a specific methodology and you have other people that are also looking at it, then again, the more eyes, the better. But yes, you must be present to win. Long story, endless. Chief Woman really wound up today. All right, so take only F, yeah trades, okay? Now, I'm gonna flesh this one out probably in upcoming webinars in more detail. And the bottom line is you only wanna take 11s, okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, on the F, yeah meter, you only wanna take 11s, like the amplifier that goes to 11 from Spinal Tap. I've never made it through the whole movie, but I've enjoyed bits and pieces of that. We have to watch that. But you want to take 11s, okay? You want to make sure you're taking that F yeah type of trade. And the litmus test for that is if you were to take the trade, and you have to answer this honestly, okay? And going into it, you say, okay, I'm going to take this trade. If it fails miserably, I would be okay with it because I would take the same exact trade again next time. And believe me, I was going through that mental masturbation with the glue, okay? Because I'm like, oh, crap, you know? Oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have taken this trade. It's like, settle down, Beavis. Go back and look at that, right? You had acceleration. It traded cleanly. It pulled back to the EMA. All the things you preach about, Big Dave. So you can't. With Annie Duke calls, you can't get caught up in resulting, okay? And then luckily it worked out, okay? So then there's another resulting that could come from that. You got to be careful, but longer term it will work out, and that's okay to look at that type of resulting, right? Yeah, at some point you do have a little resulting that happens, but resulting, and again, it's an Annie Duke term, it could be kind of dangerous if you do something and then you come out alive. It's like I watched a few of these free solo type of climbing shows, and there's one out now that's my wife expressed a little interest in because a friend told her about it. And I don't know if I could watch another one because it's like sometimes these guys don't make it, and they only are allowed one mistake. Can you imagine if we're only allowed one mistake in this business? I made mistakes yesterday. I make mistakes every day. It happens, right? So you have to. Where's it going with that? Again, let's just circle back to this. You have to make sure you take it only 11s, right? Now, one way of doing that, again, it's like, okay, you've got this setup, you like the setup, and you would be foolish not to take the setup, okay? Now, yeah, it could always go badly. Some idiot could start shooting people. A tweet could come out. You know, there's all kinds of things. There must be 50 ways to lose your money. It must be 500 ways to lose your money. But if you like a setup, you know, sell me your setup, okay? Why do you like the setup, okay? So this was a slide that was left over, which works beautifully, okay? You've got acceleration. You've got persistency. You've got a nice little setup down to the 30 EMA. A little bit of a gap in there, okay? This would be a negative, right? But it's a gold stock, okay? Gold, because gold is a commodity, gold stocks tend to be choppy. Gold is an efficient market. A lot of people fighting it out in gold, right? And that makes for a choppy market, okay? Even though it does trend over time, like the S&P futures, very, very, very choppy market. I learned early on when I was creating all these trend following systems that it's very hard to create a trend following system in the S&P futures, okay? Because they're so efficient. Now, longer term, they do trend, and that's why something like the TFM 10% system works, okay? Anyway, this stock, and keep in mind, it's a gold stock, right? It tends to trade fairly cleanly. It goes up and it corrects and it goes up and it corrects. And then net, it's making higher highs and higher lows. And for a gold stock, it's very hard for a gold stock to trend this well. Usually you get a setup and it'll work for a little while. It'll look good, but then you rarely get, it's hard to hang on to a commodity related stock like that. Anyway, it trades cleanly, it tends to persist, tends to go up bar after bar. That's persistency. Mathematically, that's equivalent to linear regression. I just like to look at the chart and draw a line through as many bars as possible. If you were to take out the price and just look at the little connected dots, you can see that it's a fairly clean stock, okay? And then notice this entire period of time, February, March, April, and we're still in this stock, okay? So that was 3 months where there was no downside Landry light. So it was either above or at the 30 EMA that entire period of time. So that's another trend qualifier, so to speak. No downside Landry light. And of course, the big blue arrow was there. Now, back when we were first talking about this one, the market was improving at this particular point in time. This was back in late April, okay? However, this was a gold stock, and gold was trending back then, and gold can trade contra to the overall market. So you don't always need the market piece when it comes to a gold stock, okay? And then, you know, sectors obviously can trade independently of the market, right? Because the biotechnology corrected while the market went up. Well, what happened yesterday? Biotech went up while the market corrected. So, you know, going back to the logic of that gentleman, it's like, well, we should have lost money yesterday because the market was going down. Well, the biotechnology happened to go up. So in general, you want market sector and stock. Sometimes the meatloaf trade, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You have sector and you have stock. And especially when it's gold or some other commodity, right? And stock, you don't have to worry as much about the overall market. All right, so I think that's a pretty good start for the resolutions. And if you guys want to let me know some of yours in the comments or shoot me some, and if you don't mind, I will I might borrow some of them because it might be something that I'm overlooking. All right, let's take a look at crypto. Now, as I've said earlier, I haven't done a whole lot of crypto trading lately, and that's why I haven't talked about it. And I did talk about it a little bit in Facebook group, and it sounds like everybody is interested in me showing more and more trades, and I will show more and more as crypto improves. So there's only a couple that I've taken recently. This is one, and it hasn't done a whole lot just yet. And then it's XTN, and I just bought it because it was going up, okay? And crypto is very inefficient. It moves really fast. And by the way, circling back to the stocks you recommend trading radically, well, you have to realize if you're going to beat the markets, you have to trade stocks that are more volatile than the market. You might want to write that down. And one of the many reasons, and I've done plenty of presentations on this, volatility, better the devil, you know, I think is a random thoughts that I did on that. You can find it on Substack and on my website, davelaird.com. But the point I was making there is, first of all, you need to trade more volatile stocks if you're going to beat the market, okay? You need to find those inefficiencies. You need to find that biotech stock, like the glue, okay, that rallied 50% overnight, okay? That move was not priced in, but you can use a little technical analysis to see that, hey, wait a minute, this thing is trending. People want to buy this stock. Let's figure out how to get on it, so we can get on board the trend and see where it goes from there. So these shit coins can be wildly inefficient, okay? And sometimes you could just buy the ones that are going straight up. Now, as I preach, the best time to do that is when Bitcoin is going up and all the other ones are also going up. Now, what did I just say about doing your homework? Maybe I would have bought this one because it looks like it's going up for a few days. But ideally, you want as many working in your favor as possible. See, that looks pretty good, okay? Now, this is not I guess you could call this a 220 EMA breakout type of play. So you have two bars. So keep in mind, this is a little different than what I would do normally. See, that's kind of interesting too. Is that the same one? Yeah, it's the same one there, okay. Anyway, sometimes you could just come in here and buy the ones that are going up the most. Now, keep in mind, it's a little bottom fishing now. I'd rather it be banging out new highs with vigor, but you kind of get the idea. Sometimes in these crypto pairs, you could just play the relative strength game. All right, any pairs you guys want me to look at? I'd be happy to take a look at the anything. Let me just take a look at, let's take a look at the bellwether here, which is obviously Bitcoin. So Bitcoin's been looking pretty ugly for quite some time, right? Drawing big blue arrows. But now it's trying to bottom out a little bit. Let's not get too excited just yet. But at least it's beginning to stabilize a little, okay? So that's a good thing, obviously. Ethereum, kind of same as Bitcoin now, okay? It's also trying to bottom out. I wouldn't rush out and buy it just yet, but this little glimmer of hope, right, might let us come in here and buy some of these shit coins. Trying to get into Coinbase. How is it doing that? All right. Any pairs you guys want me to take a look at? Or any stocks? We'll go ahead and hop over to stocks too. All right, let me see if I can. I don't. This is not the right thing. All right, we're gonna hold off on that one. We'll have to see what happens with it. All right, let's switch gears. Let's shift over to stocks if there's no crypto trades. And then we'll get in here. I'm just waiting for some software to catch up. All right, let's. Oh, by the way, I didn't talk about the Landry 100. This is Landry 100. If you get into a rip roaring momentum markets, which we're not in just yet, but sometimes you could just come in here and buy the stocks that are up the most, okay? Now, I do not recommend you doing that unless we're going into a market that's going straight up, like a 1999 or something. But this RS game can work. I had a client, and he says he's done it at least twice, where he would take my Landry list and he would just buy the ones that were biggest up. He was using an app from CNBC of all places, and that's all he was doing. And he would stay in the top five all day, and he's done that a few times and done really, really well. But you can't do that, believe me. Don't sign up for the service tomorrow and say I'm going to do that too. You know, wait until the market is going straight up before you try some sort of just blind momentum. We need a name for something like that. But in crypto, it can sometimes pay off. And that's exactly what I did with that render or whatever that trade was, XCN, that I just showed you. But anyway, this is a Landry 100. And all I'm doing here, and it probably wouldn't work with just a few stocks. And I know Jeff, I don't know if Jeff's here today, but Jeff knows a little bit more about statistics than me. I think 100 is a good round number. I don't actually own all 100 of these. I might own a few of them. I own Glue, for instance. But the thing is, all of these stocks were put in at brand new highs. USAS, for instance, way back in April. Okay. So the gentleman earlier was saying that my stocks don't follow through. Well, these are a bunch of momentum stocks that I put in, and some of them have been in, let's see, from. This one was in, okay, this is KGC. This is something we got in May. This thing made new highs in late January, okay? So that's coming up on 1 year, and that's just what momentum can do, okay? Now, obviously there's some stinkers, and the thing is, we get rid of the stinkers, right? So there's some stinkers in here. This one's down I can't even read that, 13% or something. There's 12, but you know, guess what? If this one gets any weaker, it's going to get tossed out, right? And then it's kind of a constant window dressing, but it's not that constant, being that you have stocks in here that have been in here over or nearly a year, okay? So that's the momentum list, Langer 100. I publish this in my Facebook group. I also publish a Substack, substack.davelandry, I think, whatever the Substack link is. I'll put a link in here in post. But the Landry 100, I do a pie chart to show you where the sector breakdown is. And I have some random thoughts and talk about things. For instance, notice that your aerospace and defense, there's three of them now. There were none not that long ago, okay? But you can see since October, we started adding in some of those. Lots of metals and mining, a shit ton of biotechnology stocks, okay? So it shows me where the money is flowing. And it also gives me a lot of hidden benefits, like this thing will get absolutely creamed. This list will get creamed about 2 to 3 days before the market itself gets creamed. They come for momentum first, okay? And that's just one of the few things I've learned from it. Let's take a look at some sectors, and then if there's any individual stocks, please punch them in now. I'll take a look at them. And let me see if I get YouTube up, just give me a second. Okay, hopefully the sound's working on YouTube. All right, let's take a look at the piece. S&P 500. Yesterday was a bit of a bummer. You kind of hate to see a market stall out when it's just beginning to hit brand new highs again. But today it looks like it's beginning to stabilize a little bit. So longer term uptrend still looks pretty darn good. This is the 50, this is the 200. So 50 is above the 200, that's good. Okay, those are simple. And then these are the bow tie moving averages. We're back to uptrend proper order. 10 simple greater than 20 exponential, 20 exponential greater than 30 exponential. So it looks okay, but you know me, I surely see it bang out some new highs and not look back for a while. NASDAQ Composite, bit of a bummer, okay? Down 0.5% today, off its worst levels. A little concerned about this. We've got some little peaks in here to get past. If I showed this chart to a classical technical analysis type of person, they would probably say it looks a little bit like a complex head and shoulders. That's where you have a head, a shoulder, a head, and then multiple other shoulders, or multiple shoulders, multiple heads, just a lot of topping going on, okay? How's that for a technical term? But you can see all it would have to do is break out past this high. If it did that, we'd be right at all-time highs, which would be great, okay? But for now, a little concerned about the NASDAQ. But then what's kind of interesting is this is one of the random thoughts that I was posted talking about the Landry 100 was, yeah, you got this big old hunk of biotech in there, 20-something stocks, and then you've got like 10 gold stocks and another 5 or 10 metals and mining type of stocks. So those two big hunks are in there. But now we're starting to see some defense stocks. We're starting to see some various other areas. We're starting to see a lot of semiconductors, right? Okay, showing up. And so it's beginning to broaden out. So that's the beauty of maintaining that list, is you're able to kind of see things. It gives you like a, I don't know how to, like a looking glass or something into the market. So that's a great thing. And then, of course, you do your analysis like, well, look at the Russell. Russell's right on a new high. So that means that smaller cap stocks are picking up. Hey, isn't there like a small cap rally happens at the beginning of the year? Maybe that's what's happening. You can't bet on that, right? Statistically, I think you'd be a loser strategy, but maybe the small cap rally is beginning to happen. Look at that. We're at all-time highs in Russell. Not going to argue with that. So that's looking pretty darn good. Gold, the commodity, hovering around these brand new highs, that's looking pretty darn good. Take a look at silver. Silver's just pulling back a little, but boy, it's melted up for quite some time. Broker dealer, nice breakout there. A little bit of a hookup today, a little open gap reversal, trying to rally back up. Now, that's looking pretty darn good. That's a nice little breakout there. Gold stocks just off of all-time highs. Not going to argue with that. A little choppy as of late. Biotechnology off the races yesterday. Coming back in a little today, but, you know, it happens. So, yeah, you bought biotechnology and now it's going down. Well, just give it time. Let's just see what happens. One day at a time, right? Some areas like software are still a questionable at best. You can see we're down below 200 simple. Downward slope in the 50. And then looks like downtrend proper order and the bow tie moving averages. Defense has been taken off as of late. A little bit of a reversal today. But, boy, it's been on a tear as of late. It could use a little bit of a pullback or a breather, so to speak. Transports, okay, an area I don't get too excited about usually, but it's worth following, right? Nice little day there, right at all-time highs. The Dow theorist type of people would probably, I can't say it, it'll sound, they're very excited, okay? They don't need their ED medicine today. Anyway, Dow theory, not a fan of it, but hey, it's kind of interesting because you think like, okay, well, the transports aren't that important. And then all of a sudden you have Amazon, you know, and everybody, all the packages are moving and everything's moving. And it turns out transports are important, right? So maybe these Dow theory people aren't crazy, okay? And maybe it's not too old of a method or whatever. Who knows? I like to kind of look at it like the semiconductor is kind of more like the speed of the way things are moving digitally now, kind of like the information superhighway, so to speak, as opposed to the brick and mortar, truck and mortar, whatever type of transports. But transport's still pretty important, evidently. Banks, look at that. That's regionals banging on new highs, a little bit of vigor. Not going to argue with that. Lithium, I call it a rare earth the other day. I got corrected. It's not a rare earth, but it's rare on earth. How's that? How much lithium do you have in your backyard? Probably not a lot. Mags, bit of a bummer here, but I'm not too worried about it. It looks like a big fat top, kind of a head and shoulders type of top. The thing is, usually your old leaders don't become your new leaders, right? I'm kind of shocked that, you know, knock on wood, come in. I'm kind of shocked that gold has followed through as long as it has. I'm not bitching, you know. One day it's going to end, but so far so good. But usually old leaders don't become new leaders. But Mags has defied gravity for a long, long time. Getting a little questionable. Major drugs, nice breakout to all-time highs. Coming in a little today, but looking pretty darn good. Nice uptrend there. Robotics and AI just off all-time highs. That's looking good. Semiconductors, nice little breakout recently. Pulling back a little bit. I don't want to see them pull back to this prior little breakout. But any additional weakness, I'd become a little concerned. But so far, I still look pretty darn good. Some of these other, and I don't know if it's a rare earth, I guess uranium would be a rare earth, but whatever they are, beginning to improve. They're rare on earth, so how's that? There's the miners, you can see, you know, they've been improving as of late. I wouldn't rush out and buy them, but it's interesting to see so many metals and mining doing so well. You can see M&M overall pulling back from all-time highs, so it looks pretty good. One more sector, or two more. Retail, you can see breaking out to multi-year highs. That's obviously a good thing. Financials have been doing pretty well, too. We looked at banks a minute ago, but you can see financials broke out. And they've pulled back a little bit, but so far looking pretty darn good. All right. Any individual stocks you guys want me to look at? Be happy to do that now. While we're in impasse, obviously I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. Sorry I make it so hard to find. Daylearn.com/webinar should get you there if the software is not fixed. By tomorrow, I guess I'll put a backup link on that page, first chance I get, and you can just sign up there. And you can always ask me for a link, and I usually put it in the Facebook group too. I think that's pretty much it. I'll put it in post too. I'll put in a link for that in post. Anyway, I think that's it for today. Any questions? Going once, going twice. Well, again, I appreciate all you guys and girls attending. Anything unanswered, Dave@DaveLandry.com. I'll see most of you. I think everybody here, I'll see you in Facebook in a few minutes. Everyone else, hope to see you again next week, next Thursday. Everybody have a great week and best of luck with your trading. And of course, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome. Thank you.